كان خيل أغمك عن خيات خلود أخوة أنكودا My heart talks to it. No
mine
good to
too. You hear it coming?
Yeah. Don't want too much frozen food.
Really?
It's
you up.
We last year when I brought Barbara some stinko, yeah. I used to hurt the nose. I'm freezing up. See black man being iron and feeling. Not them. Oh, well, you know, when we check them in, he always said, no, I can't.
One thing
we're doing in this project is like it's kind of like Akyak, but we're also recognizing how people from Kuguyak became part of the community. So it's we'll probably be asking a little bit about Kuguyak as well and how it happened that Kuguyak got abandoned.
Okay.
Yeah.
And who are you?
My My name is Phyllis Peterson. I am from Kuguyak. They call Kuguyak and Iyak. I am 71 year old.
I'm Jenny Deer. I'm originally from Carlick and live in Kodiak. I'm 72 years old.
My name is Irene Coyle. I'm from Akyak. Jenny Deer is my mother.
And you are?
I am 57 years old. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay.
Are you sure, Brian?
I got it this time.
Okay. Kidaka?
Kida.
All right. Well, first, now the first question is about origin stories. Now, in some of the other places in Alaska, they have like a legend about how the people came to be in a certain village or in a certain island or something like that. And from what we have found, we haven't found any real legends from Kodiak about how people came to be here. Have any of you heard any stories from a long time ago that explain how people came to Kodiak?
Not me. I don't know.
My grandfather always talked spiritually, so he never mentioned anything about legends. And I've never heard anybody else talk about that we've come from animals or we're from monkeys or something like that.
Okay, so most of what people from Akyak believe nowadays comes from, like, the Russian Orthodox Church, would you say, or from various other Christian beliefs?
Russian.
Yeah, it's been passed down.
Okay. So I'm going to go to each of you one by one and ask you the question, what does Akyak mean to you? So first I'll start with Phyllis. Phyllis, when you think about Akyak, what does Akyak mean to you? Why is it a special place?
Because Akyak is bitten and you don't starve forever. You want to go pick what you're eating. It's not far, like where I used to live in Kaguya. Mm-hmm. The food, the one we're eating, is close by to us. It's a special place like where I used to live.
Mm.
Really nice. I love it.
Okay. Jenny, what does Akyak mean to you? Why is, in your mind, is it a special place?
It's a home to me. My father built a home for us. I lived there for how many years ago. Like I said, I was originally from Cardiff, but we moved there in 1939 when I was 80 years old. And I learned to live in that village among a lot of people, like elder people that will teach you everything. Never went hungry. Minus tides, everybody's down the beach.
Lots of clams?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh. He stays no more. I was in Akyak trying to tell the boys get something. No.
Is it because of the paralytic shellfish poisoning?
They just can't, you know, they're not like before.
Mm.
You have to shovel them to let them go. Before, man, once you tell them, are they going to go together, work together. And these days, too much store food, we're losing our food.
Irene, when you think about Akyak as a place, why is it special to you?
I was born there. That's not special to me. I was raised most of my young childhood life in Akyak, mostly raised by my grandparents. They provided a lot of subsistence food. They purchased food by the lot in the fall, that the last fall winter. And I never had to carry wood in Akyak, but in Mosher Bay, sometimes we burn wood. The food was abundant. You could just walk up to your berries, and you could walk to your clams, and you could dry that fish right there. And salted bear, I remember once that I had when I was young. It tasted good, it was sweet. So, yeah, I loved that part. So, the subsistence food is what I remember most of Akyak. And the closeness of the people when there was abundance of food to share it.
Okay. My next question is about the land around Akyak and where people would get their resources. And Phyllis, maybe you can talk a little bit about Kuguyak and the areas around Kuguyak that your family would gather berries and clams and other kinds of foods from the land. Were there certain areas that you went all the time?
It's not far, like in Akyak, and you just walk maybe a mile, get your food, berries, little ways to go up to that little hill. Cranberries, salmon berries, blackberries, all kinds. What we're eating, it's not far for us to get them. And if you want to go on the skiff, it's not far to get your food. Just go out to head it and get your sea line, or on your way back, if you want seal, and stop rocks and get your seal. Now seals and sea lion too, they're changed like us, hard to get them. Same thing with ducks. Akiak used to have a lot of blue, nishkajak, mallards, go behind our house in the evening, whole bunch of them right there. 2 winters I stay now, my boys try no more mallards. No, we have to go up, way up into Olga Bay and get saltwater ducks. Everything changed these days, the way I seen it. We're losing our food the one we used to eat.
So what are some of your favorite native foods?
Aku duck, dried fish, smoked salmon. Sea lion flippers, man. I like my salt fish, dry fish.
Could make a whole list, huh?
I could make a whole list.
Jenny, how about you? What are some of your favorite foods, and where did you guys gather them when you were younger?
Just go down the beach and out the ark, and there was all kinds of seafood, even bullheads. And you just flip a bunch of grass, and there's herring eggs mixed with pink salmon eggs. Aku dangyak.
Octopus.
Octopus, clams.
Padarkis, clams.
Rootooks, snipes. My dad used to let us go get snipes, and they used to have to get a whole bunch of them. They're so tiny.
Last time that my boys went and get me padarkis, I cook them and slice them and jar them and pour some stink oil. Every night I sit down and watch TV. I eat them just like a popcorn. Man, delicious. Make you hungry, huh?
In my time, when I was growing up, we didn't have no TV. We had a radio. When we hear country and western music in the radio, it's very good.
Irene, how about you? What are some of your favorite native foods, and where would you gather them when you were younger?
Tammo, Sugunak,
Palak.
Ducks, sea lion flippers. They were harvested, you know, like all the rest of our food, you know, would be. And I like seal fat too, opoko. It's prepared, you know, you cut the fat so that there is no meat or water. You just cut the fat and then you chop it up and then you store it. Mm. That's how you prepare the fat.
Kind of like keema, but from a seal.
So it doesn't get down sick. I like salmon berries. I like blackberries. You can just walk up on the hill and get those during harvest time. Cranberries, you walk up on the hill to make jam, cranberry jam. And dohkuta, just not stuff that dohkuta.
Oh, that's sweet. Amahayat. Stink one. They're sour berries.
Those little yellow ones?
In the moss.
The cloud berries?
Yeah.
Okay, well, next we're going to talk about the seasons. So, this time I'll start with Irene and work my way back this way so you don't have to be last every time. So I'm just going to ask you guys what you did during different parts of the year. Like, did you live in Akiak the whole year, or did you go to fish camps and stuff like that?
When I was growing up, my grandpa was a, he worked with the canners as a carpenter. So we moved in the summertime up to Motor Bay so we could take a job there. And in the fall, we'd pitch a tent and go get fish and do our fish for the winter time. Springtime, we'd get ready to put up some more fish. But in the summertime, my grandpa worked over at Motor Bay, so we moved in the summertime. But we more or less stayed in the village a lot, because we never thought about traveling on the airplane. It wasn't, you know, something that we were accustomed to or didn't have a need for. So just on skips, we're
Okay. Jenny, how about you? Did your family move around during different parts of the year and go to different camps, or did you stay mostly in the village?
Yeah, my parents, my father, when he went hunting, he used to go to like Iacobic. And we used to live in Carmel. We were from Carlos, always walking, or else up. Boat. I used to have a boat that used to go up. Coming home. And Dad used to always like to get logs. That was our meat.
Where was the best place to get logs at?
Beaches. You know, when the tide comes in, the logs drift in and they pull them in and tie them, and then when they dry up, they saw them, chop them. We never knew anything about oil stoves then.
A lot of hard work, huh? And Phyllis?
Same stories.
Was there any special place you went for fish camp or anything like that?
I don't hardly remember then. Pete Cheney, that's where we used to go to Dead Man Bay. My father used to Pete Cheney for Alabac, I think, all summer long, through the fall, August, maybe we go back. He used the boat to go back home and the skiff. Well, I hardly remember. In Akakuyak, we never used to go to no place. The man go over us, we stay home.
Okay. The next section is on the living world, like the land and the animals. And I'll start with Irene again. Irene, was there anything that your parents or grandparents or relatives taught you about living from the land, like respect for animals and that kind of thing?
Well, back then, you know, we weren't concerned about protecting anything because we weren't touched by it. But my grandpa only took what we needed, and whatever was, you know, whoever needed from the land, they'd get some, especially for elders. And, I think, you know, I think our people, the Sioux-Chitons, were very intelligent in that area because they were very disciplined in taking care of our land and our food. Nothing was wasted. Even if we had clam shells, they would use them for decorations on their own, so nothing was wasted.
Okay. Jenny, same question. Was there anything that your parents, grandparents, or relatives taught you about living from the land, like respecting the animals and that kind of thing?
Well, as a girl, I never used to go hunting, but men and young boys used to always go hunting for food.
Was there any certain traditions they had? Like, I heard from some people that they had to keep their bullets away from the house or their guns away from the house or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I remember that part, yes. Mm.
Do you know why
I never know why.
Mm, okay.
They just kept it away from girls.
Mm. Same thing now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, the next question is about the outside world when you guys were growing up. I'll start with Phyllis this time. Like, how often did supplies come to the village when you were growing up, and what kind of concept did you have about life outside the village?
We have to make supplies our own for the winter. What could we eat? That's all I remember. In summertime, you know, my dad, winter supplies they could get, how they could last us through the winter. After they done that, then we go by the creek and splitting fish and salt fish, smoked salmon, 300-500 at a time, so they could last us whole winter, and seagull eggs, pick the ground, big box of eggs, so they could last us for whole winter.
Do you remember how to prepare those?
They call them puhribak. They dig the ground just like a wheat refrigerator.
How deep would it go down? Mm.
They just dig the ground like a square box. You know, winter time they put box or some kind of, so the mud won't fall into like a box. Winter time they stay under there just like refrigerator, nice and cold. It won't freeze there. Just keep them there.
How do the eggs survive?
Oh?
You're talking seagull eggs?
All winter long, you'll have seagull eggs. Mm.
They don't?
Huh. No.
It's amazing that they didn't go bad.
Mm-mm.
Must have been a very good system.
Just like you buy them stores, we put first, then you put grass, then eggs like that.
Do you put eggs, grass later?
That's what my dad used to do. They'll last us all winter long.
There's nothing special that you do in the preparation of the box or anything?
Mm-mm.
When's the best time to get seagull eggs?
By now, I think. Boy, I want some seagull eggs. Boiled fish with seagull eggs.
So good with bread.
Mm-hmm. Just make myself hungry.
What kind of food should you guys be preparing now, this time of year, or getting ready to prepare?
Too early?
Too fresh?
We could make smoked salmon now in the clinic, huh?
But they're still kind of
fat.
Do they rot faster then?
No, they don't. They just, when they get dry, they get, how you call that? They always get covered with
mold.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so if you wait till they're a little bit
too
older,
fat
they don't mold like that?
No, hardly.
Good.
When I make smoked salmon now, I have to get and let the fat slip or take their stomachs off. Mm-hmm. It won't be too fat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Umaduck
is the fat from the belly?
It's the whole fish.
Oh, fish. Half dry.
Umaduck.
Umaduck.
I can't wait to get fish to make on my back now. And eat it with macaroni.
Did you eat lots of what about boiled fish eggs?
Oh, yeah,
that used to be my favorite when I was little, boiled fish eggs. I'd ask for it on my birthday.
But I wouldn't, just like my mom, I have to wait till they get a little unfresh, too fresh right now.
I see somebody must have bring me some. I see some in my freezer.
So Jenny, when you were younger in Akiak, how often did like boats from the outside world come to the village, or how often did supplies come? Was it once a year or twice?
Once a year.
Once a year. Hmm. And what kinds of, would they bring mail and stuff like that, or just food?
Most likely food. You know, like in the fall, while they're still working in canneries, they would bring supplies. And then the fishermen that are working would make a whole big list for winter supplies. And if that's not enough, then when they go back wherever they came from, bring more supplies. Like canned food and potatoes. But my mom used to do her own plant
garden.
She did her own potatoes, cabbage, carrots. And we used to have to work the whole big garden in Karluk, pulling weeds all morning.
And did they put seaweed on it for fertilizer? Or
yes, they did. I used to wonder how come they're bringing these things from the beach.
From the beach.
And later I found out they were good for the garden. Mm-hmm. I don't see that kind of a day today.
No.
Like they did in Karluk.
Yeah, most people don't do gardens.
They just grew their own. They just grew their own.
Do you know how you call a garden in Aleutic?
Nautstadt.
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 My sister and I used to like to go weed the whole garden. We never had paper towels, but we used to have cloths, you know, tear a piece of cloth, put salt in there, put in our pocket, sit in the garden and eat a whole lot of tomatoes.
We wash baths in the gardens, make our own root underneath it. Grass, so we could go into that garden, small potatoes.
And then my parents and Babuk and Guk, you know, the midwives. Mm. We used to call them Babuk. How come these girls are not even hungry? They're not even eating. Then they find out that we were out there in the garden eating potatoes and tomatoes and carrots.
We tried to be smart, the leaf fell on us, so we stick that leaf after we took the potato and the leaf just keep dying. We tried to be smart, but the leaf fell on us.
Irene, how about you? Did you, what do you know about, like, when supplies would come to the village and stuff like that a long time ago?
Supplies for me right directly from the door. So I didn't, you know, I recall when you had fresh fruit, you know, there was a boat that went around the island to purchase fresh fruit, but no, I don't recall any ship coming around for supplies.
Okay. So next we're going to talk about the economy in Akiak. some of the things that people have mentioned before were fishing, hunting and trapping, and subsistence, like just what people would do to support their families. So will each of you, I'll start with Irene this time. Will you just tell me a little bit about the different kinds of things your family would do throughout the year to support yourselves?
I'm a little bit too young to know what happened, you know, in the economy department, except, you know, I know that when I was starting to go to school and I heard my uncle talk about needle traps, and that was about the only thing that I can recall. And for economic and fishing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Fishing was our most
big money maker. Okay. Jenny, how about you? How did, when you were growing up, how did the families support themselves?
My dad used to do a lot of trapping. Foxes. Kinds of foxes. Mm. And weasels. Just to get money coming. Where they sold them, I don't know. I was too young to remember. But I do know he did a lot of trapping.
Did he trap around the village, or did he have a special place he went to?
The most part where he did go trapping was Carmel, between Carlock and Akiak, or Noah. It was Carlock, Carmel, Martin Bay. They used to go around the island. That area like Akiak, Carmel, Ayakuri, to go hunting where there's better hunting, I guess. Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like the men really traveled around a lot more than the women back in those days?
By land, yes. Walking most likely. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I used to hear about how the men, they would go out trapping, and then, but when they're next to another village, they go to a party or a dance over there. Did they have, do people come from other villages to go to dances in Akiak?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was too young to know. But I do know they were hunters.
I walked up to the swamp and the swamp.
Sometimes, okay. Yeah, they used to invite each other at certain times, and then when they get weathered in, those hunters used to come to Akiak, and they used to end up having dances.
Okay.
Same question, but they used to do same one.
Same hunting and fishing mostly?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The next section is on family. I'll start with Phyllis. Phyllis, will you just tell me like who's it was in your family and who you're related to in Akiak and Kuguyak? You don't have to give me the whole thing because that could probably take a year. But just like the, you know, the main families that your family is related to.
Oh, I don't know why. Just my families I know when we were there, but from my parents. Mm. And I don't know my grandma. I know my grandpa. He died, was 99 year old, and my uncle. Before I really come to die. I think he used to have. They never used to tell me, though, you know, through the families. And
what was your parents' names?
Walter and Dunya Melvida. Mm. The Melvidas was a big family, you know, brothers and sisters. That's what my dad used to say. And I don't know about my mom. I don't remember. I was 8, maybe 8.5 year old, because I seen her in the coffin. That's all I remember. I remember her used to feed us. I love her too much, but I before I really come close, he died. My dad raised us and we were small.
Danny, will you tell me a little bit about your family?
My mom was from Cardiff. My dad was from Chicken. I don't know my grandparents. Just the adopted grandfather, Frank Pierce. He married my grandma, and I don't remember her. That's how we got our name, Peterson. So I don't remember any of my grandparents.
How many kids did you have?
Me?
You and your husband?
Nine?
Mm-hmm.
Nine?
Mom, you have three families.
Senefond and I had nine kids, I think. Nine or ten.
So how big is your family?
Some are diseased. I have 14 kids.
14 kids? And how many kids they have?
I don't know.
I did.
I'm lachbarachta, too many of them.
My granddaughter Danielle always tell me how many kids I have and how many grandchildren I have. I've got much already. I never even remember how many count there is. But I'm glad to be a grandma.
Yeah.
I love kids.
What was it like raising 10 kids in Afghanistan?
Tired.
Tired? Yeah.
You got to have a nice brave to handle those.
You have to use a lot
of work.
You have to do your laundry.
Yeah.
Wow. You have to carry your own water. Eat it. That is a lot of work.
A lot of time washing clothes, huh?
In a tub and a washboard.
Yeah, I remember the washboard myself.
Kneeling down, scrubbing the pants on the ground. I credit that she went someplace last time. Let me see, tub, and me and somebody went some store. We see some tubs and we couldn't see no washboard. Must be hard to. I was gonna buy them, I don't care how much they are. Now you finally see some tubs.
We were happy to get a gas washer. That was a very, very big thing when my mom first got a gas washing machine.
When was that? Do you remember?
Oh, wow, way back in
50s, I got it.
That was the first time I ever seen a washer.
How many times?
In the fall of 47, my dad bought one. Him and Uncle Larry bought one same year. And they were very happy to get one like that so we don't have to go turning a wringer after doing wash, scrubbing and everything.
Talk about the blisters.
Easier for her mom, I guess, to do.
Hard living before her.
And then to get the electric plug-in kind like today, washer and dryer, you.
Just press the button, everything is done themselves. The way we used to grow, nobody won't do it these days. Never. tinglings in the morning, cold weather, trying to light the stove, and hard times.
Did you guys go out to get wood and stuff with your dad and your brothers?
When it's nice, I used to.
Yeah.
No, I don't remember going out with my father, no.
Uh-huh.
But when he brings them in, he used to teach us how to saw.
Mm-hmm.
And make kingling woods after kingling.
Uh-huh.
All day long.
All day long.
I used to love it.
I used to teach.
Mm-hmm. Lots of exercise back then. Outside all the time, working.
Mm-hmm.
The boys were too young, you know, and there were more three of us girls that were old enough to do that kind of a job. But my sister and I used to be the ones that used to love sawing wood and chopping wood.
Kinglings.
Mm.
Get them ready for in the morning.
For that fun, yeah.
Mm. Mm.
Just out of curiosity, do you guys go hiking back in behind the mountains?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
You guys had no problems doing that? They didn't tell you about a hulak or anything like that?
We never used to scare them. We used to tell us, scaring us, and think, ah, we don't care.
Do you remember stories about a hulak?
I did to have lots of women old.
No.
Maybe that's what John got lost and things to get.
I heard lots of stories growing up, but just curious if you guys heard them down there.
In my time, yes, I used to hear a hulak. What is a hulak?
Mm-hmm.
A hulak, but the people
not say a hulak. I don't know why.
The people used to run away from
other people, like Mexican cooking, what the hulak is happening, you know.
Don't come to
me. Don't mention a hulak.
Mm-hmm.
It's a person like us.
Yeah.
When they're hungry, you know, they just run away to that other village and get
them. They lost people.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know where they're going.
Especially the when they don't got no parents or no relatives. Nobody want to take care of them right. Some of them hate them. They just make up their mind that they go. Yeah, in Old Harbor.
Yeah. Mm.
And after I have to, they took me on to airstrip. No, I didn't really look at it. But you know, when I came from Georgia 9, that's January, when they used to put mascara again.
Mm.
When Apama and Catherine was alive, you know, Apama's little shabby. I came from Georgia's after they invited me to drink tea around 7, 8 o'clock, and my kids want to go movies to Georgia's. We need to. I went home and passed at Apama's house, and I hear somebody coming out from there. I didn't pay attention. I thought, what old man was coming up, or he'd lock up his ride. I walking up by Fred's, that boardwalk. First boardwalk, seems like it's somebody behind me making noise that crackled. And I look back on this side. Somebody following me like that. Just black.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Fred Jr.
Huh?
No, what do I do? Are you guys masquerade king? Don't answer me. Little wait from Fred. I keep looking. Who are you? Kinner, but. And as he turned around, and then I lost him. He ran towards to the beach. And after that, I don't know where I went.
Mm.
7 o'clock, 7:30, I come through before they made the airstrip. Way up in the hell out there, end of that. Way out there when I fell down to the puddle. 7:30 in the morning in January. I look around, where in the hell am I? I hear this water down there, and I see the lights turn around. I run home, boy, I don't care. I got hurt or not, I run home. I died too, you know, from the beach to the angels. And then old Hubbard used to take the people there. Same thing in Portage Bay. Maybe that's why John got lost. His friends took him. Used to be lots before. Them people never have phone, home. Nobody loved them. They just took off. That's what he used to say, my grandpa.
Well, what about the Sungchuks, the little people? Did you guys ever talk about that in Akyak?
They used to be the Kukuyak used to have some.
Little people? Were they like leprechauns?
I never hear them, but I hear them. Boy, they're loud. They used to come from the beach to that old Kukuyak. I could hear them in the morning. They're loud, man.
Were they yelling or what?
Oh, I think they're just talking, you know, what they're gonna do. My grandpa had that little spear for where they used to go right away after they hear them where they're hiking. Sometimes they drop their spears or little pack sack, try to find those where they drop them. So if they found one, you're rich. When you go hunting all winter long, you get anything you want. That's what they used to do.
I know Kocho used to say lots of them.
They used to be, they never let us, they used to go end up the beach where they used to walk, hiking. So my grandpa, oh, that big whale they kill, them, that little bone arrow.
What story is that one? I've heard that story, do you remember?
What's that?
The one where the little people got the whale.
I'm just spear them, I think. I don't think they're little kayaks. My grandpa used to found some. They're little kayaks, and sometimes 2 persons and 1 person. I think they're traveling all over to kill the whales. Move them, the little spears. I don't know from where they come from, though.
Yeah. Well, that's the first time I've heard that one. I mean, I've read about it, but I haven't heard about it.
They used to have some from Kukuyak. I heard them once. When
Uncle Joe used to tell us that some of them were good luck and some of them were bad. I think he had experienced, you know, he used to be so lucky. And he used to be the last one to make a haul, and he'd make a big haul. I don't know, one time when I went with my husband fishing, he told me, "You watch the wheel." I said, "What if I push down?" He said, "No, you won't anchor you." So they went ashore. He followed Uncle Joe, and he told me in Aleut. He said, "I'm not going to let Uncle Joe get the best of me. I'm going to do whatever he does." I said, "Go ahead, but don't forget me." So I sat in a wheel upstairs, you know, and I forgot why it was Margie B or Harmony or whichever one it was. And there was Uncle Joe making a haul, and he had a darn good haul. And son of them went right behind him and made the same haul. And they both got the same good haul. And boy, did they work fast. Mm-hmm. And it was a good experience for me because I never did go out fishing. And I never did run a boat. But when I learned to run a boat, I said, let's do it again.
What kind of stories did Uncle Joe tell you about shungjuks?
He never told me anything about shungjuks, but he used to tell me that they had good luck of some kind.
The devils, he never used to talk about them.
About anything, just said if my luck is with me today, I'll make a good haul, you know, like an alligator tell us. And my husband would say, yeah, yeah, yeah. And by golly, he would do what he says. But sometimes he used to tell my husband, if I make a haul and get a good haul, you go right behind me full speed and you'll make the same haul. Mm-hmm. But one time I think he made a mistake and went the wrong way and he tried again. It used to be interesting to watch those guys, Victor, Joe, and Sanapan, and Inakenti. Mm-hmm. Just two things right behind each other. And they used to do a very good job.
And they used to fish right in between the rocks.
Right.
Nobody would figure out how to fish where they were fishing.
Nope.
They'd always rip their seines. We'd always rip our seines up.
Well, we only have a couple of sections left. I was thinking maybe we should take a little break, refill our coffee and stuff. Well, how much time do you guys have left?
I don't got much time. Maybe you're tired, getting tired.
You go sometime next week to come and visit again. Let's stop now.
Yeah.
And
I hope you think.